this guy.
All right. This is good. We're going to start with you laughing like this.
You know.
Welcome to another episode of Hops and Handshakes. This is number 10, and we are back at Brewery Vivant off of Cherry Street here in Grand Rapids, and I am with Paige Cornettit. Paige, thanks for taking a few minutes out of your day to meet us and tell us what's been going on.
Thanks, Isaac. Super exciting. So I just started my business. I started it in June, and it's called Millennial Guru is the name of it.
Perfect. Millennialguru.com.
Millennialguru.com. Thank you for the plug. Love
it.
Shout
out. No problem.
And it basically, the concept came about was that I'm a millennial, number one. I love helping millennials and kind of helping people discover who they are. And I found that in the workplace, there's a big gap between generations.
Oh, yes.
And you know.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And there's lots of hair pulling, and there's lots of different generations that don't necessarily understand millennials, and I felt that I could help become a mouthpiece or a person that would be able to bridge the gap. So not only me personally, but also through my education, my family, and experience in the workplace, I could kind of launch this fun thing called Millennial Guru to help companies hire and inspire millennials.
That's awesome. That's cool. And I really do appreciate what you're trying to do, because they do seem like, you know, if you wanted to divide between the baby boomer generation versus the millennial generation, right? It's they talk about like it's these polar opposite worlds,
right?
And there's many actually similarities, but just different ways of getting there, you know? And if really what it comes down to is just purely communication. Right. I mean, just being
and
able
expectations.
To absolutely expectations. Expectations. And just, you know, we do the same thing with our business. It's like, look, you know, and I'll talk to baby boomers. I know you do the same thing too. I'll talk to baby boomers. And again, I'm always cautious when I generalize 75 million people, baby boomers, or 83 million people, millennials. But at the same time, from a age sense, like, look, you grew up teaching them to do anything that they want to and challenge status quo. And then when it actually happens in your business, you get pissed off. Like, what the hell did you expect? You know?
You taught them to be this way.
Exactly, they're doing exactly what you told them to do.
They read what they learned. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Exactly.
And I think, I don't like to necessarily use the terms in generation, like baby boomers, millennials. I like to think of it like this. There's one generation, and it's the horizontal generation, and then there's the vertical generation. So horizontal, like this, vertical. So the older generation, it was very vertical. It was work your way up, get a good job, corporate, go up the line. You know, your boss comes over for dinner and you bring out the nice china, and you're really nervous and you want to make sure that you really impress them and that your wife says the right things. And so it's kind of working up, right? With the millennial generation, the horizontal, and it's not just millennials. Those horizontals, like, every status quo, everything is like gone. That impressing your boss, it's not like that anymore, because we were taught to challenge the status and have an opinion and have a voice and ask a lot of questions, and especially with technology too. I think that's kind of broken a lot of barriers as well. So
I love the way the vertical horizontal makes a ton of sense.
Strategic like that. And where's the point? Where's the access point?
Paige knows me better than most, so there's going to be a couple jabs at my personality and natural talent.
No,
got jabs, but yeah exactly. Yeah. But the vertical part versus the horizontal, and I really like what you said. About it's not just generationally, like it's not just generations. Of course, we start generalizing a sense, but there's people out there that are 62 years old that act like the stereotypical millennial thing, where, you know, from our perspective, they've never wanted to talk to a salesperson.
Exactly.
They wanted to do their homework. So even if you had 75 of the best salespeople in the history of the world, you still couldn't get through that person because they wanted to go do their own thing. They want their own data. They don't want all the stuff like that. So it's just. It's fascinating.
My grandfather being a person who's 83, and he's always has the latest and greatest technology. I mean, this Apple iPhone coming out, he will be first in line to get it.
Okay, he's an early
adopter.
He loves
to email. Yep. He doesn't like the self. He's processes. Like,
okay.
So, yeah, so he, you know, if you say, oh, stereotypical millennial, well, he kind of is, you know, like, but he's 83
years
old. It isn't just, I think, generation. It's more of like, are you in the horizontal or the vertical wheel,
exactly.
I guess. Yeah, that's
exactly.
Kind of what I've
experienced. Well, and let's go back. Let's go back to your business.
Yeah.
The only reason why you're doing this is because there's got to be pain points out there in the marketplace.
A lot
of pain points, and you with what you do, and then, you know, some of the stuff that we do, we can see how those pain points are tracing back like it's maybe not direct, but indirect cause of what's going on. And, you know, you can see I was back to this, but to the core of what you're actually talking about. But what are those pain points that they're actually saying to you of why this is such a problem?
Oh, great question. Just like as my clientele and what they're asking
sure,
me. And
sure.
Well, so I think the biggest thing, it's not necessarily the younger generation that is having issues. Of course, they're having issues finding jobs. They don't necessarily know how to brand or market themselves. They're really good at social media branding themselves, but they don't know how to do that face-to-face. So that's the pain point from the horizontal generation.
Okay.
And that's kind of what I'm finding is, and those are also my clients, but the biggest one, the biggest pain point is actually the opposite generation. It's just like, I just don't understand, A, how to communicate with these kids, and B, what their goals, what their expectations, like we have it kind of laid out, and I thought that, I had to go through this rigorous process, so I'm expecting
I was on the vertical.
Yes.
I had to go through the ladder, and now you're telling me they don't.
I was hazed, so
why
aren't they
being hazed? Yeah.
You know, it's kind of that process, like, I don't get it, I don't get them, I don't want to, and so there's a lot of pain point, I think, from more of a personality and just how do I talk to them? How do I communicate? How do I keep them? And everybody has to come to the party.
Mm-hmm.
And the hardest point is the older generation, the vertical generation that's just like, I just don't even know what to do. Good luck. Good luck with your business. You know, what do I do? What do I do? And I'm like, you talk to people like people and you treat people like people and you ask, what are the goals? What are the expectations? How do you want to be communicated with?
Okay, so that is, when I talk, I love that you bring that. When I talk about this, it's the same thing where I'm like, well, you need to build relationships. You need no different than
yes.
you have in the past. And then they say, well, we do that, but they don't call us or they don't, we go this, I go, no. A relationship is based on like, you know, if you want to build a relationship with somebody else, you probably want to do it on their terms first,
yes.
right? So
yes.
if you are not willing to text, or if you're not willing to do this, do something different, or if you're not willing to kind of jump in the world that they like or the world that they value,
right.
is no different than you trying to ask out a girl or a boy or whatever you're doing, and you ask them where they want to go to eat. And they're like, I love Mexican food. And then you're like, great, I'll pick you up and we're going to go to the Italian place.
Yeah.
Right? You would never do that, right?
Okay,
but now,
yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
I think they understand that on first level. The second level is the relationship or the value is in the eye of the beholder. And that eye is so different than what they were growing up or what they've ever known. And I think that's really hard for them.
Right.
Because they put themselves back 30 years ago. Well, gosh, I'd like somebody to help me up the ladder.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
But where'd the damn letter go?
Yeah, it got it burned.
Yeah,
it went away.
I think that's a hard thing for them.
Yes. And I think that's more of who I'm talking to in my clientele is more of how do I work with these millennials? I mean,
okay.
how do we as career people that have been in this world for 30 plus years? How do I approach them? How do I talk to them? What do they want?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, what do you want? And then go ask them what they want, and have
yes.
a conversation. But there isn't any of that interaction. That's where I step in.
That's perfect. But what you're really asking for is like, look, let's just cut through everything.
Yes.
We have two different people sitting across from the table from a, what do you want? Perfect world.
Yeah.
I want this.
Yep.
Well, here's what I want.
Yep.
And can the two merge or can they not?
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
Are we on the
yeah. same page? Are we
yeah.
on the same wavelength? Are we reaching the same goal? If we're not, then, I mean, and people just want to be treated like people. I think that's the biggest thing. And talking about challenging, millennials challenging the status quo is, yeah, absolutely. They're like,
absolutely.
Why should I work for you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I explained
yeah.
why you want me,
yeah.
but why should I work for you? Why should I stay with you?
And that's a mind that is so hard for
yes.
a lot of people that at least we know that are, to get their head wrapped around.
Exactly.
What do you mean?
I mean, why do you need to explain that?
You're asking me that?
Like, right.
And yes, they are. And you can go back to simple economics is you need them more than they need you, it's weird though. So anyway, it's a valiant thing that you're doing because it's
Thank
certainly
you.
A huge need.
Thank you.
And I think you find this too. I think there's a lot of there's a negative narrative in the younger generation at some point in time, but then there's still a lot of people within that that are just maybe misunderstood, and there's a lot of want to do good things in there, and it's just not being, maybe that spark isn't being flamed properly.
I think you hit the nail on the head with that one. And for me, it's changing the perspective to a positive perspective. Yeah. And that yes, there's a lot of miscommunication, and what gives that individual energy? Sure. And we've talked about before, strength finders a little bit.
Yes.
and understanding who you are,
110% believe it. Yep.
And what your talents are, and kind of what you bring as a person to the table, and then also what gives you energy. Mm-hmm. And if you're not focusing on that person, okay, so let's say they're doing an executive assistant role, and there's lots of tasks, and it's very detail oriented. Well, if that person they don't like to do that, they want to be building relationships with people, not doing all the Excel spreadsheets,
then they're not
in the right role. You don't have the right person in the right seat in the right bus. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's, I think, going even a step further and going deeper with who their employees are.
Well, so that's also something else you do that I think is unbelievably valuable, not just only to the employer, but to the people themselves.
Yes.
I mean, I bet it's a stifling, and this is talking about the strength finder and be assessing truly what the natural talents are of each individual person and the natural skill sets and the things that they think that maybe many of them devalue because they come so easy.
Yes, right? Exactly.
And then their role doesn't really fit that. But God, the percentage of people that are walking around today that really truly don't know what they're naturally amazing at, it's got to be huge.
They do. They just maybe aren't, because you know what you're good at. I mean, you just naturally do it, even if it's not in the sense of like a professional or a personal. So a perfect example for me is when I was in the workforce in the financial industry, I have a lot of influencing talents, and I love to work with people. Surprise, right? Yeah. And I love building relationships and people. And so I was stuck behind a desk for, 8 hours of the day. And so I overcompensated because I needed that energy. I joined pretty much
this is when you joined 714 groups.
714 nonprofit charities,
give
volunteers.
Or take two or three. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it ebbs and flows of that. And I overcompensated because I needed that energy. I needed that rebuild of energy. And I wasn't getting it professionally, so I got it personally.
Got it. So we're seeking it. Most people are seeking it out. Hopefully in a positive manner, seeking it
hopefully,
out.
Hopefully, but sometimes it isn't. And that's the thing, is channeling that energy and directing where it is. I think that's
And those are just things you really can't change.
No, that's who you are. I think they said when you're 26, not a lot of it's going to change, is who you are. As you're developing and growing and as a person and as a student, for example, my brother who's 19, he's still figuring out what experience, what's going to match with the talents, and it can kind of up and down, but most of the time it's going to be pretty on. So when you're 26, it's kind of like, that is who you are and what you do.
And that's a fascinating thing, because I've heard people talk about their family, and their family is a certain way. Now, I believe that to like this level, but why don't you go through your siblings and how different you guys are? Like, because you didn't all get the same thing on the strength.
Oh no! I got one strength in common with one of my siblings. That's it.
Out of five, five. Okay.
So out of the five, I have one, which was positivity with my sister Claire. That was the only one.
Yeah. I should explain real quick what's Strength Finder is.
Okay.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, okay. So, Strength Finders, you want me to talk to the camera or this?
Doesn't matter.
Whatever. Casual, just sweating.
Talk to the
here.
Umbrella. You want.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Just, grip, drip. It's fine.
You have a 92 degree day here.
Yeah, I know. I'm right
there
with you.
Look,
I'm like,
man.
I'm going to have to change.
That's a good look. Yeah. I went with a dark shirt. You can't tell that I'm sweating my ass off.
Yes. That's true. That's
I'm just really nervous.
Yeah. We know. So good. So Strength Finders is basically this 34 personality assessment. A lot of people talk about the different ones, Myers-Briggs, DISC. Mm-hmm. And so this one is very detailed. They have done over, 17 million people that have taken this test, which is fantastic. And it's more of themes rather than talents or strengths. So you go into depth of, okay, so there's this common theme. So, for example, communication is one of the common themes.
Yes.
And people communicate differently. So
absolutely.
Maybe for one person, the best way that they communicate is writing, mm-hmm. or speaking, mm-hmm. or dancing. That might be one of the ways that they communicate. And so they kind of narrowed it down with all these people. Out of all these talents and strengths and things that they have, here's 34. And so you take the assessment. It's about 140 questions times. So it's very reactive of, okay,
You move through it. It takes 20, 30 minutes. Yes. They speed you through it.
Exactly. And it's your first part of your brain. So it's like, okay, it's instinctual who I am, not who I want other people to perceive me as. Mm-hmm. And that is very intentional. Yeah. We did that on purpose. And so you go through it, you take the test, and then you get your top five. You can get your top 34 as well, if you wanted to pay a little bit extra money for it. So you get your top five, and basically it's your talents or themes of who you are. And then a lot of people take it and they get it. They're like, okay, great. Yeah, I'm strategic. Yeah, I'm futuristic. It just gives a language, you know, for people to talk about. Mm-hmm. But you really need a person to talk to you about of what you do and who you are. So
how do you apply it? Like, how do you implement it? Right?
Talents, exactly. Yeah. Like what we've talked about before. Like,
sure.
Isaac, how do you use strategic? You're like, I wake up every morning. I'm like, pa pa pa, whiteboard. I'm writing everything down.
And could
I'm
be like, middle of night.
Do you know middle of night, 4 o'clock in the morning? Yeah. And I'm like, do you realize that not everybody does that? And you're like, they don't. Why not? No, it doesn't come naturally to you? And I'm like, absolutely not. Everyone in my family besides my mom and I have strategic, and I get it because I understand that one, and I have deep relationships with my family around strategic, and it's just like, here we go, gotta put it up on the wall, don't we? Just because it's not my natural talent, but I get it, and I can understand it, and I can speak to it, and it helps me as a person really understand, and vice versa, who you are and what you bring to the table in a positive light. It's like, I'm really
very positive, and I think it's so good to know how that for somebody else in your own relationships, because it's like,
yes.
You understand why people behave or decide or manage things, or some things are challenging for them or irritating for them, or some things they really like.
Exactly.
Like, you kind of just get why. And as opposed, you know, and I think it just helps all level, because you're like, okay, well, that's what they value. And when you feed what they value, like, it's so much better. Like, you can communicate so much better, right?
Absolutely. And I like to kind of break it down even more. So the why is your beliefs and how you grew up and your values. And mm-hmm. you set those. I mean, they could come from your family. They could be maybe you're in a specific religion. You had a life-changing experience. So your values. Sure. So that's your why. How you do it is through your talents. And then what you do is your profession or personal life.
Okay.
So, you know, your talents
You're going to do it through
that. So, for example, I have positivity. So how I'm going to apply why I'm doing this, you know, I'm doing it because I love people and I love helping people. How I'm going to do it is with a positive perspective, because I bring positivity to the table.
Sure.
And what I'm doing is helping companies hire and inspire millennials.
There you go. Awesome. That's hire and inspire.
Hire and inspire. That
rhymes and everything.
I know.
Dang, girl.
Communication's also one of mine.
That's up there, too. That's up there,
Rhyming is how I communicate. Actually, it is. Can't
All right, so you are on your entrepreneurial journey.
Yes.
And you've already learned a ton, and you will continue to learn and learn and learn.
Yes. No.
Tell me, tell us one thing that, of your experiences, and one thing that just kind of sticks out at you, and it could be a couple things, but that anybody can learn from and apply and have some results in their life.
That's a really great question. And I think the biggest thing is focusing, again, going back to your strengths, is focusing on how you're doing it and what you're doing. So, for example, I love breakfast, lunch, and dinner with somebody different, or beer, or coffee. This is
sure. Which,
this
by the way, one. you're
I know,
a little
sorry.
Slow here.
Well, I'm talking.
You are talking.
That's what happens when I go.
That's what I do. I blurt some question. I try to sound intelligent, and then I get to drink, and I let you talk. That's how that goes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's my phone going off real quick.
Okay.
Sorry, I got double phones.
It's a millennial.
Over here.
Actually,
millennial. Actually, it's not a millennial.
They would be texting you or Snapchatting you.
It's definitely a. Oh yeah, it's definitely not a millennial. Sorry. What were we saying? I forget. Oh, okay. So, why entrepreneur? Words of advice. Words of wisdom.
Yeah.
Words
of advice, I think you were traveling down the self-awareness area, like knowing yourself. And
yes.
What you're doing. Okay.
So, starting this company when I first started. And I launched the company in June, but I really started kind of the idea, the concept, in January. And so when I started, I was like, I got to do everything. I have to be this. I have to be the accountant. I got to do sales. I got to do the marketing. I got to do, I mean, I felt so spread thin with mm-hmm. everything. And I was like, okay, wait, stop. What am I good at and what do I like to do? I love building relationships with people and I love giving back and helping them and getting them to know themselves even deeper. And that's where I need to be focusing my energy. So what can I outsource and delegate? Who can I rely on as a partner, as somebody that I can pay to do it for me? So
and that is their world that they like to operate
exactly.
in.
Exactly. So, for example, I am not going to go get my CPA accounting license anytime soon. Let's just say that. Yeah. I appreciate it. You need it. I totally understand it. But I don't want to do that every day. That's just not who I am. So I rely on other people to help me with my books or to do the behind the scenes on that.
Sure.
With building websites, can I do it? Yes. It's going to take me probably a whole week to really learn and build it. There are so many amazing people out there that love to do it and do it, can do it like instantaneously in a day, 24 hours. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna rely on those people to help me build that for me.
It's your dream team.
Exactly. Yep. Dream team.
Yep.
Dream team.
You got
exactly.
It. You got it.
So I think that's the biggest thing, outsourcing and delegating and realizing that you do not have to do it all.
Well, and it, you know, might take cash out of hand, but you can be very creative with how you do some of these things. And
yes. Just hire millennials.
Hire millennials. Hire millennials.
They'll work for free. No, kidding.
Hire millennials. They won't, but, like, they won't. Understand, like, understand there's going to be, at least, I don't know, from my experience, understand that version one is only version one.
Yes.
And you have no idea what even version 4 or 7 is going to look like.
Right.
So, you know, version complete is better than non-existent, right?
Amen.
So just get it out there, whatever, and you might not, whatever, but just go, because at the end of the day, you want to be able to, especially if you're starting a company, you want to fund it by sales. That would be good, right? I really get sick of that. I'm starting a company, I'm going to go raise $2 million. I'm like, and you haven't sold the concept or whatever, right? But no, I like that, and then you start, but then you've got to put yourself in a position of only what you can do in the company that nobody else could really do.
Exactly. And I think, too, as an entrepreneur and starting your own business, it's like there's so many great ideas out there, right?
Oh,
and
God.
So you know this. So many great ideas. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do this. Okay, are you going to do it? Is mm-hmm. that idea so amazing that you wake up every morning and you're like, I'm obsessed. I love it. I want to do it. This is me. This is what I believe in. I'm going to do it. I mean, it's like, is that idea good enough that on the bad days
you're going to do it anyway?
You're going to do it. Mm-hmm. You're going
to
do it.
Is it a 10,000 hour idea that you're willing to commit that amount of time to?
Yes, to become a master. Yeah. Well done. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
And most of them that you hear, or somebody, I had somebody call me on the way here that had an idea.
I got a great idea.
And so like I'm wondering, thing. Like, yeah. Okay.
Okay. Are you gonna do it?
Are you gonna like it tomorrow when you talk about it? I'm like, exactly. All right. I'm like, all right, I'll call you in a week. We'll see if you still like it.
That's exactly right. And I think as a business owner, it has to be an idea, like this idea of my company of helping people hire and inspire millennials, you know, helping millennials, helping companies, helping all those components. I love it.
Yeah, and that you can't fake that part. I think even for let's say somebody works for a company as an employee around. I think you do some of the similar things and you try to mold your position into more of what you're really good at and shining in that area. Even if it actually took you extra work and you did more of something that maybe wasn't required of you, but you could show the company that you're really good at this mm-hmm. area, your boss, whatever, and this really good, that allows you to maybe have that conversation of like, hey, if we could remove this because I really enjoy doing this and I'm really good at this, and it actually ends up being best for the organization as well as best for you.
Absolutely. And there's a case on it, I'm sure you've heard it before, where it's, you know, the salespeople to get promoted, they become managers. Mm-hmm. Well, they're really good at networking and selling the company, the product, the service, and management is a whole nother thing. And like, that's the only way up. Mm-hmm. But that's not what they're good at. Nope. You know, or what they like to do, what gives them energy.
Exactly.
It's like they want to be selling the, you know, and bringing in the money. So,
exactly.
You know, there has to be a conversation. You can't put them in a different role that doesn't fit what makes sense for them.
Got it. Good. Got it. All right. Last question. Well, maybe last question. We'll see.
You and I could talk forever. So,
let's see here. Piece of advice for everybody. What would you tell your 18-year-old self?
I've thought about this. I have no regrets of what I've done, which is really great. I think it would be get involved in starting businesses, get involved in business faster, sooner. I think that's what it would be, because there's a lot of opportunities that I could have compound interest, sped that up. I would have spent maybe, so I'm 28 today, and maybe I would have started the business when I was 26 if I had a longer window of doing those starting things.
So. And I guess you don't, like what you're saying, I think in a way, is like you don't realize how much learning is involved. And so you would have liked to start that learning curve earlier.
Yes. Because it compounds.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. No, I'm with you. You know, you sit there on the fence, you're like, should I do it? Nah, I get this.
Right.
And then you start doing it. And then after like a year or two, you have people ask, well, how's it going? And you're like, you know, it's going well, this and this and this. And I think some of the expectation from outside is, well, you're an entrepreneur, you should be making tons of money. Blah, blah, blah.
Right,
and
right.
It's like,
those are their goals for you.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. It's like, no. I'm building this for 2020, 2025, 2030. Like,
yes.
That's when it really happens. But understand, like, this is a whole new college degree that we're learning. So you might as well start it earlier.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. That's exactly right.
And I mean, and even if a business, maybe your own business, isn't your thing, trying a few of these things and being a part of that is so many lessons that you can apply to something else. If you find out it's really not for you, because it's not for everybody, you know.
Absolutely.
But the ability to actually to even work at a startup or work at a smaller company and see the stuff that goes on, I mean, it's great experience. So whether it's you starting it or you getting in a smaller company versus a bigger company, because you just want to learn all the facets. Yeah, it's a different world than...
Yes, absolutely. There's a reason why a lot of these companies started in a college dorm room, or even because of the compound education, and they became masters because they worked really hard at it. And they're like, well, now I'm making money. Do I even need a college degree? You know what I mean? Like,
correct.
I have this idea that I love, that I'm obsessed with, and I've also put how many hours into it.
Mm-hmm.
So the sooner you do it, the more knowledge. Okay, let's not make that mistake again.
Yeah, so it's like an expectation of the learning curve. So for you know, so starting it earlier would have been nice. But I mean,
that's what
I
would tell my 18-year-old self. So,
yeah,
yes,
you got people. Yeah. I mean, you're still very young in startup. And
I know, but I'm just saying, you know, if I went back in 18 and I would have been a freshman in college, I would have been like, start a business, you know, do something with your peers, because you could try it. You can try it in a college environment, or get involved, or get a job, you know, work or do something, or get together with friends and start a company, you know, those kind of things.
And that's the beautiful part about today, is whatever the business it is. I mean, even if you wanted to start, let's say we wanted to start a big manufacturing company today. And so immediately you're like, oh my gosh, that's capital expenditures of buildings, equipment, all that kind of stuff. You could actually test your idea. You could start the business with a couple hundred bucks. Maybe, exactly. All right, a couple hundred bucks by making a prototype of the widgets you were to make.
Right.
That weren't even real. And go to 100 people and say, would you buy this?
Exactly.
And then blog about it or talk about it, whatever. Like the communication, the horizontal thing that you talked about earlier is really predicated on a big part of it is the ability to connect with everybody and connect with, you know, like you said earlier, you know, with a bookkeeper, an accountant, whatever, and all these different people. It's much easier now in the past, so you don't have to be a do-it-yourself person.
Exactly.
But even using that ability to say, to test a hypothesis before we go $3 million in debt to go build a factory. Like, so you can actually try. You can try 100 different, you know, you can try 10 businesses a year for under a couple grand. Like, really, that's obviously just testing the waters.
Right.
Like that. And I think that's obviously a different, it wasn't that way in the past, and now it is that way. So that barrier to entry of just trying something is so much lower than it was in the past that why the hell not?
Absolutely, and we need to be building entrepreneurs. I mean, we need more people that are gonna create things and change the world. I mean, we need that, and so the sooner that they can do it, the better.
Yeah.
The better, because exactly. it's gonna, like I said, compound education, compound learning, and compound changing the world. So
absolutely. Paige.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us. What is your drink of choice? We forgot to do this earlier.
Oh, okay. My drink of choice, can't remember what it is. Oh, it's Harris.
Harris,
it is a
of course.
Sour.
Of course.
It's a red wine barrel aged sour. Ooh, this is pretty, it's 11.5. Ooh, okay.
That's why you're drinking it slow.
That's okay, right. Really slow, okay.
I did the farmhand. And Paige Cornett, where can we connect with you? Where can we find you? We can find you online, right?
Yes, millennialguru.com. And okay. Then my email is Paige, P-A-I-G-E, at millennialguru.com.
Perfect, perfect. Well,
actually,
thank you so.
for other people, too, that like to call me and interrupt me in my meetings, it's
616-443-1000.
1000? 616-443-1000.
I have an idea who had a hand in that. Yep.
Oh, exactly. Yes.
All right. Yeah. Thank you so much. That is episode 10. Thank you, Alex. Alex is keeping me online. And thanks for joining in. Hope you enjoy, Paige. And we should be on site at another brewery here in West Michigan shortly.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.